Chidari, don't you think?
Yeah. Saint Catherine is one of the greatest saints today. If you have any need for her, she'll come. Every saint has come to do many things. Now, years ago, who was the saint they used to pray for driving a car? Then the church ruled out, right?
They said they
weren't positive he existed.
Exactly.
And then now they took Saint Teresa, somebody who they know more familiar with cars, and therefore they pray to her. Me, I drive with both of them. Uh-huh. Because I'm so stupid, I'm going on the road, I need one looking behind and one looking in front. So both Saint Christopher and Saint Teresa are driving with me.
Yeah.
I put it this way. All the knowledge that has come down to us, if we were to apply it in our own simple way, day to day, these words could be your greatest measuring stick for living in the common base body. I accept the communication of the saint. But their communication has nothing to do with channeling. Their communication is actual manifestation of themselves for you to check them out. Because they are your brothers and your sisters. So they can't play games with your head. Therefore, I accept that type of relationship. The next statement is, there are no sins to forgive, but misapplied decisions. I accept responsibility to correct my own misapplied decisions. No matter where I did them, I accept that responsibility to correct it. And if you ask God, is there a sin? And you say, yeah, and you don't look at me. Who is me? Yourself. See? So that's why Jesus put it in a nice way by saying, love the Lord thy God with all of your mind. You can't do it with part of your mind, so you've got to be all of your mind. So me is involved in all of, and with all of your heart, all of your strength, all of your breath, and your neighbor as yourself. Everything is. But that's the understanding that brings you to this, that you will resolve all the misapplied decisions that were done and correct them. So that's valid. God will clean up his own act via the individuality. Individuality triggered it. Individuality can clean it up and resolve it in a unified field. That's your true self. And last but not least, the atom is eternal. I am made from the atoms of 144 elements. I ain't going no place because who am I? I and the Father are one. Two things equal to the same thing are themselves equal to one another. Am I immortal or am I just a figment of my imagination? Good. Then if I'm immortal, then you make the declaration, I will do the cleanup or the dirty work because I triggered off myself through my individuality as an opportunity to experience differential relationship to midnight eternity. In other words, God creating his universe out of a unified field has to impress back upon his nature the highest integrity of individuality, of assuming responsibility for the role of an individual. It's what you call Superman emerging out of Clark Kent, the maturity of the super being out of the individual. The quality that's inside of you that must emerge for, what you say, assuming responsibility for being you. Not afraid of it, not running from it. That's in essence what we're saying. And it's there what they're trying to teach us. And we'll constantly you'll be reminded by it. And all the different meditational groups, you'll have it more and more, seeing it every day.
What's the reason for the reluctance of the human race to accept this concept?
Two reasons. There are three, but I'll tell you two. One, having to have birth as an organism and to experience the incompetency without the awareness of your accomplishment as a winner, and having to respond to the environment in order to function as an individual, that sense of incompetency make you feel inferior to the idea of a God ever having interest in you as an individual. That's number one. Number two, the vulnerability of yourself as an organism, that you can't get around, is when you're sound asleep at night and don't know what you are or who you are. We all began out of the womb in a sleep state, and we grew up as adults in a sleep state, and we're constantly building our lives towards living to go to sleep in a sleep state. So for that reason, we can't see where we are going. It takes our brothers and sisters to break away from those two patterns and to come through the agony of living in the body to show us how to rise above it. And the conviction of it is the living the spoken word. Live what you say moment to moment and see it transform you and give you the freedom and the reality that you and God are one. Individuality and totality are one. Now, individuality is when the breath comes in. Totality is when the breath goes out. But if you don't come back in, that's totality, right? Now you understand Paul very clearly why he said, I live and die daily. He lived in the principle of individuality when he took his breath in. I am Paul. Go out. Surely the princess tower. She didn't think where she was going. She would have panicked. But surely the pain, everybody who experienced the in and outgoing knows that God is created by him. Not somebody sitting on a throne. But they are God, not a God. Breath of life is God, providing the opportunity for individuality. Coming into the mechanism is individuality. Going out of the mechanism is totality. But then totality can't stay out simply because why? It has to sustain its creation that it already set into motion. And for that reason, it's moving atoms timelessly, transforming emission recurrence called matter or manifestation. It must provide the ongoing opportunity for entrance now. So one goes in, and so that peculiar law is set up. Until the individual learns that neither coming nor going is any more a threat than the one form of individuality that it recognizes and understands it, that's the one form it will work with. And it doesn't matter, once it understands and can make the integration and move with it, it will see for itself that the atoms can do many things. But we're not here to post or show up. we are here to realize it. Because we all have it in us. Would you believe that to try to photograph you, you wouldn't show up on a film?
Okay.
They did it to Lahiri Mayash until he had to slow his brain down to let him keep the picture. And he didn't say it was a magical power or anything. It was the fact that the mechanism understood its nature and structure and had nothing to do with belief or confidence. It had to do with understanding of how it was structured. And then it locked into its own delta level. Understanding will get you to delta faster than belief. But belief will help you to trigger delta because you'll get your ego out of the way quicker. That's the only one thing you did. The others are preparation for the delta level. You have to go through it like that. You have a BS, a BA, an ME, and a PhD. And you have to go through it to go to the whole.
So,
you have the beta range, which is where you're hearing now. The alpha is a temporary lowering of that one. And then theta is the next where you can sense and things that you haven't completely recorded in there or filed away, and that would be in reference to the geometry, the alphabet, and the number, and you have to slow down to see where you're not storing them correctly and put them in. So that would be called the dream state, but then that's not the end of it because that's the first real phasing off the dream. Then you go down to delta, and the first part of delta, you discover you're a crazy person. Now, if they never told you you were crazy, you wouldn't believe it, but until you go down to delta to discover this particular phenomenon, you don't know if there's any sanity. You can't get sanity before you cross over insanity. In other words, if you never walked over quicksand, you would never know what the difference between quicksand and the other one.
What is the principle of having to go through that insanity?
Comparison is the essence of divinity. How would you be divine if you don't have to compare? How would you know?
So it's only because of our geometry being so structured that it seems insane. If we weren't such a structured type geometrizing,
good. Okay, that's
what,
good. Now you understand this is fine order.
You said the mantras would be our life preserver.
Yeah,
that's good. At night. So what sustains the schizophrenic part? I mean, do we know that we're there, what's happening?
If you don't quit the time you start, after you shoot off, like the missile, which is the breath, that's like the missile to get you in orbit, and then keep the brain going with a signal. The signal will carry you through all the levels, because the signal represents the five elements. Remember, the names are only Sanskrit words for sonics, gas, temperature, liquid, crystalline. You're a composite of these five functions. They call it five element principle. You have to live through their interreactions inside of your mechanism, right down to the core of the atom, and back to the sonic level of your mental fixation. So if you repeat those five words, though they may originate from the Sanskrit, but actually mean or represent the resonance of nature, the gas in nature, which is all the air and everything, and the actual heat reaction of nature, and the liquid and the crystal in which you are held together as arm 44, if you just hold that identification through the various shifting speeds of the brain, that is, like I said, a life belt. They won't teach you to swim. You'll remain capable of floating in those frequencies without panic. Then you will gain your own sense of equilibrium, which is your intuitive nature. You will begin to see, as Yogananda saw, through the forehead, the back of the head, and everything, because everything becomes now hologramic vision. And you don't lose your sense of proportion. It's there for you. Have you ever looked through a little kaleidoscope toy? That's exactly what you got inside of your head.
John, you know how they say, like, when you go through those states and then you call the master, of course you say a master, this person is master himself. So if somebody called you when they're going through the schizophrenic stage, is it where you wouldn't be able to do anything because the person's not learning to swim? You're there, but the contact can't be made until they pass through that stage?
We cannot interfere.
Oh, okay. So you... Well,
but we will be there to watch.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
give you
not
the...
fair.
No, because you got...
No. Can I breathe for you? That's what I'm talking about. We will be there to give you the encouragement to keep on breathing and not to quit breathing. That's why we will be there. Because remember, you are behind the wheel and not a passenger anymore. You got the ignition, you're there. And so we will sit alongside in the other car and give you what? Encouragement to start keeping your foot on that accelerator and taking it step by step down the road. Well, they're not going to switch car. So that's what we're trying to say. Communion of the saints is not to take away from you your right to be the same.
Well, what happens if somebody then...
This young lady is
a... To the five words, the Sanskrit words, does that take you through the essence of each one of those states without a conscious connection between knowing what they stand for and what they mean, or do you have to have that?
That's given to you at initiation. So it's already locked into you. You just got to identify it.
And the person who is schizophrenic, who's walking around having a difficult time, seems to be stuck in that state.
That's right. The initiate isn't.
Okay, I know somebody like this. Basically, do I just have to watch that? There's nothing I can do for that person. They have to just get there on their own.
Let me explain something. We may feel helpless by watching. We are doing more for that person by just being yourself. For two reasons. That person is 144 elements. You are 144 elements. Air that is going through your nostril that allows you to be stable and not panicky is the same air going in their nostril. Now, if you stay stable, what would the air eventually do in their nostril? If you get panicky because you know the situation, what the air will do to them is already panicky. You get more panic. So that's why Jesus said he had nothing to offer anybody. He said, I of myself can do nothing. But the Father in me doeth everything. The ear in the mechanism does everything to reduce the panic situation to a state of peace or balance or health or normalcy to cope. The peace I give, the world don't give. The world gives you 6 feet under the ground from their panic. I give you the strength of peace. That means in every confrontation, you just breathe and be calm and face it and you will feel the Christ power in you radiating out to that person, and that person will feel it. And I felt it when they came and look at me, these masters and all of them. I had to breathe. They could not breathe for me. But if I kept panicking from the fact that I'm out like that, then I'm the one who would have ended the whole thing. When I began to see that was not necessary, as they kept the calmness and the watching, I became calm. And I began to relax. And then my own body began to breathe in a strange way. And when they took me to the hospital, that the doctors brought around all their students to observe how this man is breathing. I don't breathe with his nostril. I breathe from my abdomen. Like that. And they had all kind of equipment hooked up. Because I was dead, my abdomen was pumping like that. And they said, only singers and deep sea divers breathe like that. They breathe from this point to the diaphragm. And this is a spontaneous, natural reaction in your body. And a person who will panic, they go like that. But a person who doesn't panic, eventually the body becomes normal and pumps exactly at that level.
It's the first yoga breathing exercise.
That's right. They call it the complete breath. You automatically go into that state without having to study it or train for it. It will put you in that state. But your body is already designed for it. So what we're trying to say is, don't panic. And when they ask you anything, send them the love, because the love is the highest prayer.
I ask a question, I'll see if you can answer. You've been asking questions. What is the indication that a person is benefiting from meditation? Or is actually being transformed by the involvement with meditation? Talk louder. Talk a little louder. Yes. But that is not all. You have to be able to get up and function with it.
then you measure how long your body identifies with it before it phases out again. You have to constantly build up that charge. Meditation is not a practice. It's a biological transformation of the cells through the interaction of the oxygen to electromagnetically charge you to interact with the surrounding atoms so that you find your synchronicity and move in and out of it. That's why it's not a prayer. It's not written this way. It's written this way. Meaning, mental energy directing individual thought activities towards an independent of the five senses, observation, and oneness with noumena. So the end result, you are creative consciousness in motion. But we start out encouraging an individual to look inside of himself in order to make the journey. So that's a sort of encouragement. So we say, sit down and practice it. But in the end, with the best equipment of measuring the brain, right down to delta, all that can be done for the view is to give him or her a measuring analysis of how much they can slow the brain down to the delta level and how long they can stay close to it. But then the instruments can only do so much. You personally have to interact with your oxygen in your own biology to trigger the atomic reaction and become one with it. That's why when man Jesus is saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God which is within you, and its righteousness, and it will free you, free men all lord of yourselves. Literally, most of us take it from a philosophical approach. But then the technique he gave was, when the eyes are single, the body is full of light. And the light is shining in the darkness. Darkness comprehends it not. But let your light so shine before men that they may see the good work and glorify the Father in heaven. Knowing fully well that this particular process could not be accomplished in a short space of time because it's involving atomic physics. But he had to present it that way to encourage people to look inside themselves. And then, as we gradually master the process and become one with the atom, which we are, by virtue of understanding, then we have the freedom that is set up in the atom to manifest the form. God is already us, but God is providing many expressions of himself as the individuals of us. So in order to know if you're making any progress along the process, certain conditions become obvious after a while. and then you have to persevere to arrive at that sense of oneness in yourself. But in the early stages, we refer to the peace and many different conditions to encourage you to continue. See, it's an observation that is totally independent of your senses occurring inside of you as the first stage of the atomic transformation, and then the final is the oneness of this process and identification. But peace is a word that describes a sort of a feeling that we do get in the cells, which are fundamentally biological refrigeration. We call it peace, but we don't know that is actually what is going on inside until you set up equipment to measure it, that the cells went into a form of biological refrigeration. And you walk around with this sensation of peace, calmness, and it takes a lot to ruffle your feathers. But what you actually did accomplish was a cellular refrigeration on a conscious level in a mobile state. So the in the event that you sit down to do the meditation, the most unique memory you can have is the condition that took place prior to initiation, which is called the approval. What took place on that day, if it was rain or the rainbow in the sky, or someone asking the question which only initiates know, this is occurring at the level of your nature to satisfy all internal mechanics, that the love that occurs between you and the environment is the actual bonding and has nothing to do with any human being. It is strictly a personal integration between you and the creative consciousness. So no one in this room is responsible for your development. You are totally responsible for the experience of yourself. And it's already set up in terms of the approval that it occurred, that you can never forget. That something did occur, and you ask out of the simplicity of your nature to want to know or be part of. It is to shut us up once and for all as an individual, a creative consciousness has organized its creation, talked to itself. Through the many different individualities. So after a while you find that your ego no longer is such a big thing, because you can't even vouch for it when you're sound asleep. If ever you're going to find yourself vulnerable and don't have an ego to relate to as an individual, is when you're sound asleep at night. And if you know who you are when you're sound asleep at night, then you've arrived. That's why Paul was so adamant about all the different approaches and experiences and stuck to one final statement involving the truth by remarking, I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. To live and die daily in the Lord is to be totally conscious of the ingoing, outgoing respiratory activity organism. But the continuous evidence of your progress is when you close your eyes and get into yourself, and then when you open your eyes, that feeling that is in the body, you can walk with and see how long it takes before it fades out to you. Many of us close our eyes. How many actually hear the sonics that holds this building up together?
You're talking about noises. What are you talking about?
The actual sonics that holds the building together.
Well, I hear a lot of noises when I go in. Creaking, all manner of noises, all that, and then that's in the building. I was told by somebody else it was just my imagination. I don't know.
When you were initiated, weren't you told there were certain songs you would hear? But you didn't, we don't make those songs, they're there already. We are only going to create instruments to match it, to play it. But those songs are there before we can make instruments. Can you recall any of the songs that you're told that you hear?
I hear a lot of sounds within myself, but when I go into myself, my head has a tremendous worrying sound to it, and it hurts.
So yeah, that's only the blood running through the veins.
What's that?
The blood running through the veins.
Okay, well.
But they are supposed to make specific sounds, they said.
Yes.
What? What songs you hear, supposed to hear inside?
Supposed to, or what I hear?
Supposed to hear.
As you go,
there are many songs there, but they're absolutely of no value.
I see. As you go up the very, as you go from the bottom, you hear either a drum beat or the sound of beating.
Yes.
Let's see, I believe the second one is the sound of flutes.
Yes. Wind instruments.
Third one is sound of like stringed instruments,
mm-hmm.
guitars. Fourth one's the sound of bells.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth is the sound of thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth is lightning flashes.
Now, those are instruments we made after we heard them inside to remind us of the internal journey of the oxygen triggering the electromagnetic reaction from the base of the spine of the first endocrine gland up through the spinal column to the top of the brain, and is the actual spark in each one of those glands that sets off those sounds for the actual pH factor of the gland. If the gland is functioning on time, all the time, those sounds are there. When they go off, it's very easy to identify them. So a realized person can re-monitor back these sounds and correct them in the endocrine system and line them back up. Now, to remind themselves so that they don't drift away into a toxic level, they develop instruments to duplicate the sound as a form of conscious reminding. But when you actually slow the brain down to the theta and delta level, especially, these sounds are predominantly vibrating there every 4.5 seconds. Now, not too long ago, there's some research being done where they're measuring the intrinsic resonance of the healthiness of the endocrine gland to get its internal vibration. And what they have found so far is that they haven't found anything that the ancient men did not identify with it. They found the drum beat in the bottom of the spine. They found the sound of a wind instrument in the sacral region. They found the string instrument in the lumbar. They found the tone of a bell in the dorsal or heart. They found the thunderclap in the throat. And the flash of lightning in the forehead. So far, they haven't discovered it. Backpipe yet. But they have found these sounds to be exactly valid when the endocrine gland is functioning.
You're talking each one down a percent of time?
Yeah.
If one is off,
it'll go off.
But you hear the other sound.
Yeah, you hear the other sound. Yogananda once said this, before the century is over, what the Eastern yogis have been teaching about the internal physics would one day be common everyday laboratory experience for the student in college. Yogananda once said what we consider as development of the internal and the evidence that goes with it in terms of the voice organizing the atom. So we have about 12 more years, and a lot of this data will slowly emerge from the researches, and the equipment will be made to validate for the individual that he or she is an atomic machine.
our terms of reference, in talking about it, you're usually talking about something like hiders and bombs.
Yeah. The human body is a miniature universe.
Okay.
That doesn't say it can blow up the earth. The fact that your body is a harmful to four elements of a certain quantity and a certain pH factor moving on time all the time, you multiply that quanta, that applies to everyone in this room because the quanta doesn't change. We may outwardly look large or small, but the quanta of elements that makes up the human mechanism, that quanta times the speed of light squared is the total electromagnetic potential of your mass. Now, if you detonate that in terms of an explosion, then you realize that you are more radioactive than the first bomb we fired off, or even Chernobyl. One human being has more atomic energy than they have. Because you have all 144 elements locked up in you. We haven't yet come to grips with what we actually are as yet. We're still groping in the dark and holding on to preconceived philosophical terminology as to who we are. But as soon as we start phasing out of who we are and begin to accept what we are, there is no miracle anymore. All the realized people who have realized this, they see the vastness and the power and the that is involved in it, that they simply keep their mouth shut after a while, because you can't explain that to anyone who's unprepared for that type of input.
That has a lot to do with the sophistication of our instruments, Adano, doesn't it? Like, suppose this was a cell in this room and a big probe came in here and measured the temperature of the room.
Mm-hmm.
It would miss the temperature of the fireplace because mm-hmm. it didn't have subtle enough to find out that there was that hot a temperature actually in this room, which you could think of the cell. And it would miss the subtlety going down to the ignition point of the coal and the extreme temperature to ignite the fire in the first place.
You see, we only have the knowledge of the structure of matter in the last 100 years by looking into it mechanically, to vouch for it being something more than what it appears to be the eye. For centuries we've been making statements about it, and if it was accepted, fine. If we did anything that appeared abnormal, you were considered some kind of a weirdo. But if it defied every conceivable fixation, we say God. And right away, we locked ourselves into fixation of belief without knowing. Then that led to a lifestyle of belief without knowing, which became fanatical and self-destructive. With the advent of man questioning, really, is this wood? And then went to the point when he started to try and develop means to prove that the term wood is not what wood is. And every term that he has limited himself to accept about his environment isn't actually what it is. Then to look at his own mechanism and label it what he thought it was labeled, and go back to all type of data in reference only to find a lot of missing gaps in it. We read the biblical writings, but we don't even see some of the things that are written about it, and we miss the whole boat. Well, the very first statement would be, God breathed into man breath of life. There is no indication in that documentation where a human being breathes on his own. It took many years of erroneous notions about the human body to finally have to come to a fetus in a hospital to prove once and for all our fixated laws that we make about ourselves and imprison our brains and our bodies with, that the actual truth, there is not a human being breathing in the womb through the nose.
Okay, this brings up something that came last night. In essence, then, to get body and, I mean, spirit and soil together, we have to breathe ourselves.
Yes, but you have to clarify much more than what has been said about it. The word spirit is going to be a very nebulous word.
Okay, God. God has to breathe my soul. So me as God has to breathe myself.
Yeah. But how many of us can accept that?
I accept it. Because that's the only way I'm going to get my body to get up and walk. And it says, pick up your body and walk.
Good. That's valid. And then the question that comes now, how to recognize that your body is responding to that command?
Because
when we have been conditioned by our parents and by many different ways to do otherwise.
What happened, this soil been with me for eternity. It's my soul. So, of course, it's the one that's begging me to breathe it.
But then you see, we don't have soul.
We don't have soul. We have soil.
We are
soil.
Living soil.
That's it. But
which is 144 elements. In a catalytic state called body, being activated by the pressure from the outside to the inside as air or breath of life, and it vitalizes it and it lives. And as long as it synchronizes, that means it constricts and dilates on time, all the time, it will get up and walk. Otherwise, it will lay down there, do nothing other than decompose.
But
it didn't come. It didn't come to life. So, until we look at it objectively from that standpoint, we don't realize what we are doing or what we are involved in doing yet. So we get carried away with a lot of fixations about who we are, and never really make the transition to what we are. And then, when you do make the transition to what you are, the realization suddenly opens for the first time that you never went anywhere, and you ain't going anywhere. You have always been here, but greater than that is you have the first opportunity as a creative consciousness to talk back to yourself as an individualized consciousness in a cellular organism held together by virtue of breath. And this is the internal opportunity that is set up for creative consciousness to experience within its own nature. So I, as an individual, don't exist. Only when I open my eyes, if I fall asleep, it's gone. But when I open my eyes and I look around, the biggest threat to this is the programming of what this mechanism has been told to expect. And everything that's surrounding it imposes that threat until it can break free from that and transcend that particular imposition. Then it has the capacity to work with the process surrounding it and can work in any frame of time it needs to work with.
On the breath, it is always in through the mouth. A fetus breathes the fluid in the same fashion with the plug in the nose. Now, if we're in a cosmic womb, we are to breathe in through the mouth all the time in our meditation of hitting that delta. Is that true?
No.
No? So the air, because the man with the air in the nostril is the man with the air in the nostril.
Yes.
So you want to get the fusion there through that in-breath.
Yeah. But it has to be a nasal experience.
A nasal experience.
Not an oral experience.
So it actually
came through the nose. That's right. And this only occurs after the cord is cut.
Okay.
See, we are the extension of our mother as a fetus, which can be classified not but an overgrown tumor.
But I'm talking as when we're going into our, we went through that one, now I'm going to the next step up.
The next step up is merging with the atoms around you through the nose. You are the air, not the body now. The 3 ounces, 0.6 ounces that comes in after the cord is cut, and the 3.6 ounces that goes out after you stop constricting and dilating on time. But that 3.6 ounces must have total experience in the environmental field via the nostril. And it doesn't shut down, and it doesn't lose any consciousness, and it isn't involved with intellectual programming.
Okay, when we go in the delta state, we're at 7.5 minutes, and we're schizophrenic. Is this a kink in your tape recorder where you're hearing the schizophrenic are your past, your future, your now, all mixed up, battering you?
No.
Okay.
That's a preset condition of the air that must pass through your cellular organism for the memory to sort out its origin, minus the geometry, minus the alphabet, and minus the number. These are the only 3 things that make up the context of your consciousness in a form of a memory. They initially are projected on the screen from the memory as a camera doing the same thing in a movie house, right from the back of your head, which is called the medulla oblongata or hypothalamus, and it shoots it right into the forehead, which is the pituitary gland, which is the screen, and spreads out the total geometry, the total alphabet, and the total numeral in all the colors of the spectrum, playing it on between density and non-density for approximately 7.5 minutes.
Okay.
And it has no origin, and it has no end, it merely is. Now, it will tear up every preconceived programming that you have about yourself, because you cannot identify in none of the geometry where you are, or who you are, or why you are. But you only can keep looking at it and feel threatened constantly by the inability of it to stay fixed.
So then when you go on the next 7.5 minutes.
But that's providing you don't panic. How many of us can stay in it and not panic to go the next 7.5?
And that's a reprogramming session there at 7.5 of blackness.
Yes. But to go through the first 7.5 is like taking you out to the high seas and throwing you in the ocean and leaving you there without any way to save yourself.
Okay. When you call for help in an act, do you have the capacity to call for help? Or are the masters and the people that are to help you there on just because they know you need them? Or can you request help at that time?
The passenger is not the driver. To go from a passenger to a driver, what would be required? A driver's license, but providing you know how to drive to pass the driver's license, that they issue it to it so that you are considered responsible to drive. Before that, what would they say to you? Can't drive. And that's equally true for the individual in his consciousness.
I thought, though, that the masters and our brothers were available to us all.
No, a policeman is always available when you make a mistake.
Oh, just when you make a mistake?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have some erroneous notions about these laws, and then when we come to find out who let us down. No one let us down but ourselves of being misinformed.
Yeah, this is why the information is important to know.
Every human being is a passenger to start off with. And the conscious level, when he assumes the responsibility to get behind the wheel, all the teacher can do for that student after he has the key is to vouch for him at the police department if he gets into an incident and has a ticket. He may put up the money for him if he ain't got the money. But that's about as far as it this teacher can do. He can't drive the car for the person. He can show him the car is there. He has to drive it himself. Now, when the student is driving the car and creating the accident, can the teacher be held responsible? Now, if he's in the process of crashing up his car, can he call in on the teacher for help? There you go. At least we got some smart person now. Yogananda put it this way, 60 miles an hour will protect you against your debt. After that, or above that, you're on your own, don't call us. They work with the clock. A mile a minute is pretty fast on the earth. In the sky it's different. An airplane is an entire different thing. But when you're driving on the ground, they figure a mile a minute is fast enough for your life. So,
if you find you're going too fast and you're going to skid, they will intervene to slow down and allow you to come out undead. See, that's how I learned how they work. But if I didn't learn how they work, I would vouch for it.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, when the 3.6 ounces pressurization is gone, we call it death, and 144 elements now become merged back into the earth, soil, 3.6 ounces of pressurization, which was individualized sense of I, me, is now merged back into the ocean. What reincarnates?
Nothing.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus, when he was being tricked by his own people, trying to trap him to see if he would vouch for reincarnation or heredity, they brought a blind man to him. And they said, who sinned? Who made the mistake? Did the man sin or made the mistake? That's the reason why he's born blind. Now, to be born blind and to make a mistake, is it after birth or before birth? The mistake must occur. So before birth, right? So that would have to take place in another time frame other than his present body form, right? Good. Now, so they're going to try and trick him to see if he really going to fall for that particular conviction that, or negate it or show something greater than it. And then he said, or his parents sin. Now the scripture says, I visit the sins of the parents unto the third and fourth generation. Today we call it heredity. Well, if the parent did it and they didn't resolve it, the offspring would have it, right? So if the offspring have it, whose fault that the problem should be pointed to? The parent or to the offspring for being foolish enough to be born of their offspring?
You choose your
parents.
You choose your parents.
Your parent, right? But then if your parent is at fault, then they would know that they should make better conditions before they decide to make a mistake like that in order to reap a condition that they reap and have to feel threatened by it. So where are they going to resolve this condition? Here they must have done something wrong. They reap a condition like this and then be miserable all their life for having that condition to take care of. Now they want to trap him and see, well, what can we do? There is no resolution. The parent is wrong. Therefore, they have to suffer to take care of that condition. Or the person did it in his past existence, and therefore he must suffer for his mistake and don't complain. Now, the man Jesus said, neither. He didn't say they didn't have any purpose. He said, neither. But this particular condition is to the glory of God. Why would he pick out the condition to be a glory to God? Another condition of a past life or a hereditary condition, and give the one of the two the particular cause of the person's suffering. He picked something entirely unrelated and gave it much more dimension and reaching to a higher level of restitution by saying, this is to the glory of God.
It's not dwelling on the negative aspect, it's dwelling on the positive aspect.
Good. Then what is positive about the blindness of the man?
Perhaps he chose that to gain more awareness, to see things in a different way in this life. Perhaps he thought he needed to know that.
You tried.
Positive is that blindness can be corrected.
Hmm?
The positive is that blindness can be corrected.
Keep trying.
Well, he can see in a different way.
Keep trying.
He's actually in a form of meditation all the time.
Hmm?
He's actually in a form of meditation all the time.
Keep trying.
Sonics utilized now can erase all pre-existing conditions of heredity or karma.
That's getting close to the condition that you have pinpointed what is going to make that work. The question is being asked by people, right? To two dead men?
No.
To two living people? In what time frame are they living?
No.
With the group that is asking the question?
Mm-hmm.
Good. When is God existing?
No.
When is God going to solve the problem?
No.
When did the problem ever occur?
No.
So, the person who knows what they are, would they feel threatened by a question like that? But those who don't know what they are, well, ours would propose questions like that. Because they're all living in a who. So the man Jesus said, to the glory of God, which means, here I am in this body now as the God principle, confronting the same God principle in a who process, because it made a misapplied decision in a who state, and is being put to the test to see if I, present with it, can resolve by the power locked up in the I of the what state. And the eye of the what state will say, this is to the glory of God, and I'll heal you right now. Well, who is he healing, himself? Or his own who's that were projected out in various time frames within the same tape? Who is breathing the air with Jesus? The man that appears to be blind? Where is the man that appears to be blind? In what time frame is he existing? In the same time frame as Jesus?
Sure.
Who are the audience around him? The people who are asking what? Who brought the man to be healed? The man didn't bring himself to be healed.
More
who's, right. They're in a what yet. There's only one what and a bunch of who's there. And they're all caught up in their who game of trying to what? Trick a what?
So you know, what can't be healed?
Good. Voltage and amperage can't do a doggone thing against wattage. And the amperage is the what? The guy born blind. And the voltage is the group making up all kind of charades. And the what is the guy who's going to heal the guy of his so-called limitation. And in electricity, which is the most important measurement you want to have? Watts, voltage, or?
Amps.
Amps.
So did Christ, who did Christ heal the blind, or did he heal himself?
No, the blind man healed himself.
But why did he heal himself?
Well,
because for the first time his who separated into his what. But you see how to break up those people's fixation. Do you know the story how he healed the man? They brought the blind man to him to be healed, and they confronted him with a blind man and said, who sinned that this man be born blind? Did the man do it in the past life, or his parents did it, that they born blind? And he said, neither, this is to the glory of God, which means I'm going to show you guys, if you think you're going to trap me with this kind of nonsense, I'm fed up of it, with all your who games. But it's not a who, it's a what. So he did this, filled his mouth with saliva, too, and spit in the ground. How many times have I told you before? It's not what you put in your mouth that defiles your body. What comes out of your mouth defiles you. And give me a logical, scientific answer. You had swollen nutrition. What would kill you quicker and give you ulcer?
This fucking word.
In what way?
Your own words, mixed with your saliva. And then
what's in the saliva? Come on. Your enzymes. So if you call me a son of a gun, I don't hear it, but you get the ulcers from swallowing your saliva through your own enzymes that become toxic and burns away your intestinal area. And then who's to blame? You did it to yourself. Nobody did it to you. Good. So that's what we're talking about. So he, seeing their games and their charades, he was showing them in simple language what they failed to observe as therapy for their own lack of understanding. He spit and used that very same saliva in a ball and stuck it in the man's eye. He says, no, don't go and tell nobody what you see. Well, you know that's going to be hard for that guy to do. He's got his sight back. He ain't a baby born blind. He's a full-grown man. He has walked on the streets of that city many a times, reaching along the wall and having somebody leading him, right? Try and walk down the road now without anybody leading you and run into somebody, and what are they first thing they're going to ask you?
Why didn't he know he healed himself?
Because he was afraid.
There's also a point, did he say Jesus healed him or Christ healed him?
That's what he said, he's afraid. He had to expose, because there was no way he could keep it to himself, that someone healed him. And who that someone was, they had to tell him who it was, because he had no way to see until he got his sight back. When he got his sight back, he was told, tell no man. Then what is he going to do? Play dumb? After he's got his sight back?
He lost his
speech now, right? He can see and he can't talk now. So here he has his sight back, but he can't talk. Sorry. Can't talk. I can see, but I can't. He's in a predicament, right? You get the idea? So he knows he's being healed from inside through his own understanding and the time frame of that reaction. But what is he going to say? He can't say, Jesus healed me. He can only say the Christ. Because the Christ is the unified principle of what in both human form, the what of the Jesus form and the what of the blind man's form was the same what that exemplified the vision that it could look at itself in an individualized state for the first time in that particular moment of time. So they who saw it now marvel and went away pondering as to the glory of God. Pondering as to the glory of God, meaning what? They were doubtful in their limited understanding of who they are, that they could ever aspire beyond that level to what they are. The average individual is locked into that particular frustration, limitation, and anguish. Anytime they can't cope with a situation that doesn't allow them to be functional, they always feel what? Handicapped, inadequate. But to be told they are God, not a God, but they are God, would make them feel highly, highly inadequate to their limitations. And yet, when they see it happen, they are reaching out for this one person to do it for them all the time. And this, yet this one person is telling them, it's in you. Turn it on. But could they accept it? Now, he came unto his own people. That's where it comes from, in that same. And his own people received them not, or accepted. They couldn't accept that, because this is too direct as to who they are, why they are, and where they are, to accept what they are. But then it went on to say, but as many, regardless, male, female, ethnic group, or belief system, but as many as received him, received what in him? The who or the what? But as many as received the what in him, that is themselves, to them, this what gave that individual the ability to turn on his what? The power to become now, or exemplify their godness, Son of God. Meaning they have the capacity now to accept what they are and work from that level. Yes.
Now, in what state, what happens that it doesn't become fixated?
Because there is no geometry.
There is no geometry.
There is no number, and there is no alphabet.
So it's entirely separate. So does that mean that consciousness?
No. You buy a camera. Do you take pictures on the negative or on the film? Oh, I see. You never took a picture on the negative. How come? That means there is no way you can take pictures on negatives. You can only take pictures on film, right? And film is totally full of geometry, alphabet, and number. Right or wrong? Hmm? Is the film...
Not blank.
How we like to fix words in right away. Not blank film. Oh, so what is a non-blank film called?
Non-blank film is a picture.
You see how you're running into what you are now? There is no heaven and hell here. But what you put in your head about you, what you think you are a walking camera from the day you're born into a cellular form as an individual manifestation of the creative consciousness who has pulled this whole thing together from sonics and optics and set up this cellular camera with a pair of eyes to camerize or watch or call witness. And so the film is blank, like a brand new computer plugged in, but no program. And you come in here like a camera watching. If you don't take off that the little cap that they put over the lens, could you take pictures? Good. That's the same thing with you and the cut the cord. And they put on that thing now, and then what does the person do with the camera when he wants to take a picture? You focus what? You take pictures every day, man. Look how many pictures you've been taking. Come on, tell me what you...
Focus the lens, it works on the f-stops.
Mm-hmm. Keep talking, keep talking, keep talking. The normal numbers, geometry, so...
Well, he makes a decision.
So what are you going to record?
What I think I see.
What you think you see. Or what you want to keep. Which is more accurate now.
Or what I want to keep, that's the fixation.
Oh. Good, all right, then enjoy it. So, there is no condemnation. I couldn't condemn you for anything you want to keep. Why? Because I'm in the same position. It would be highly impossible. The who cannot in any way liberate the what. The what has to liberate the who. So you have to look back to yourself as to what you are to free you from all the who's. Now, when you wake up in the morning, you take a bath and you look in the mirror, that's what you are. But you can't go out on the road because then the public will lock you up. So what you do? You put on clothes, makeup and everything, and that's the who you are. But you know what you are when you wake up and took your bath. That's what you are. Then from then on, you're going to put on the who's. See, all this is who's. So that's where we function. But that is not a bad process. It's an ideal process to give us a sense of identity with the unified principle. Who we are versus what we are. But the camera has the film. That's what it is. What it wants to store or record is in the environment. And you got to adjust the lens to the light. Then you press the trigger. And then you record on the film, right? How come you don't give me a finished picture right away? Unless it's Polaroid. Oh, you've got to develop it into what?
Negative.
Or is it a negative after it's printed by the light flashing through?
It's a negative after it's been developed.
Developed. Now, can I have a look at it, or they got to make something with it next?
Well, you can look at the negative.
Look at it, it's going to be reversed.
But you've got to make a print out of it.
Keep talking now. See how... How are we learning more and more of what we are?
You got to make a print out of the negative to...
In other words, if you don't make a commitment, to all the who's in you are a bunch of nothing. And that's the reason why initiation is set up in such a way that I can't meditate for you. I can give you the keys, let you record the image you want to store, and help you get the negative developed. But I can't make the print for you.
So be careful what fixation you develop.
That's right. So therefore, we are living this particular process inside of ourselves to photograph everything here, and it's called witnessing. Then as soon as our parents tell us, chair, lamp, carpet, how long does it take you to repeat this and accept it means that from the time you're born?
4 years.
Hmm?
4 years.
At least 4 years. That's four revolutions around the sun. They got to hammer it in you. And you know, parents don't realize how much they are great nuns and monks until they got children. To train.
So
long anymore. It takes me about 18 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I've got living one at home.
But you still got to hammer it in there.
No.
Good.
She knows what everything is.
You don't tell them nothing when they start?
Yeah, from the start, but it doesn't take 4 years. It takes about 18 months now. It's speeding up.